Hoist Team Nation, welcome back to MTPN's NBA Team Podcast. I think we are trying to do an episode of free agency, and we're hoping like me and my co-host here, who I'm going to introduce in a minute, we're crossing our fingers on the 4th of July weekend that, okay, maybe nothing's going to happen now that that first wave of free agency has gone by. Maybe that second wave won't be as hard of a hit, and it turned out not to be the case. So we decided, Adam and I here, we decided just kind of wait in the wings, like Sting in the rafters, and just kind of watch all the chaos ensue. And here we are, walking through all the rubble, and all the aftershocks of NBA free agency, along with some other things that are going on that some Adam's interested in talking about, some of them I'm interested in talking about, and we'll try to mash it all together in some kind of clusterfuck of an episode. But speaking of clusterfucks, here's my co-host Adam Murray.
We're wrong on like 90% of our stuff. I don't know why this is the one time we have to go redo everything.
You told me, you totally no-sold me calling you a clusterfuck.
I'm used to it.
I mean, that's going to be a lost episode for us, but you and I maybe can listen to it one day just to laugh at it because, you know, one of the biggest ones, and, you know, we can actually just go ahead and start off on the top because it's been really the sports story. I don't know if it's a sports story of the year. You got some major things. Cleveland coming back to win the championship, you know, win their first title in 50 years. You got the Rio de Janeiro Olympics, the controversy surrounding the Zika virus, who's going and who's not going. And obviously, you know, the Super Bowl was in 2016, so Cam Newton losing, Peyton Manning retiring. But Kevin Durant leaving the Oklahoma City Thunder to sign that what they call a one-in-one contract, which is a 2-year deal with an opt-out for year two that he's likely to use to make more money as a 10-year veteran in 2017. Kevin Durant leaving the Oklahoma City Thunder for the Golden State Warriors is got to be top five in stories of the year, sports stories of the year, right?
Well, it's because there are no sports stories right now. It's pretty quiet.
Yeah, but I'm talking
time.
About the entire calendar year. I mean, it's a seismic shift.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is, but, you know, and then the overreactions, and then people, oh, I gotta burn my jerseys, and it's just like, you know, a lot of people need to get over themselves.
I gotta say that for Cleveland, as much as they suffered, they're much more creative at being at their vitriol and at their, like, in their organized rallies. Like, when LeBron left, like, you had groups of people burning jerseys and doing effigies, and it was actually quite impressive to like put it together that quickly. It was almost like Cleveland had like prepared themselves for the letdown because, you know, like you're watching the Believe Land 30 for 30 documentary, which I think is on Netflix Instant now. I guess you get used to the misery, so you kind of prepare yourself for it so that when it happens, you're ready. You're mentally ready to kind of like to lash out about it. Whereas with Oklahoma City, this kind of felt like a left hook when they were expecting a right uppercut, you know?
Well, nobody thought, well, why would you leave? You're building up. And then, you know, Golden State already has their thing. And, you know, and then, you know, once all the talk, I was like, okay, I get it. He wants to be part of the greatest, you know, team of all time. And it's like, well, there's a difference between building a big three and then let's have something that's just video game-like.
Well, it's also in a very special circumstance, you know, and I've read this too, because, you know, NBA Twitter was so, first of all, it's so creative because, like, the moment Durant left, because that was the big thing when LeBron left, like, oh, what a betrayal, it's almost on a Shakespearean, like, on a Shakespearean level, and so, like, people were immediately out with the gifts for, like pro wrestling type of corollaries with like LeBron and the NWO. So people were trying to find the corollary with Durant. Like, is Durant like the NWO? Like, or is it like the, like when the Shield broke up and Rollins turned on Ambrose and Reigns? And I think another one I saw that was really great was when the Rockers broke up and Durant is Shawn Michaels and he super kicks Marty Jannetty, which I would never call Russell Westbrook a Marty Jannetty. Would that be totally unfair?
No, it's not unfair.
He's way better than Marty Jannetty. Like, in terms of, like, if we're doing, like, comp to comp, like, he's, like, way past. Like, that's like Shawn Michaels breaking up with Bret Hart if they were teammates.
Well, yeah, that's all in retrospect, though. We don't know Marty Jannetty's career trajectory if he wasn't just buried.
Yeah, yeah, you got a good point there. But, you know, the thing about NBA Twitter is that, I mean, they were just a buzz. But there's so much news swirling, so many hot takes, I guess you could say. Some people throwing right back at Kevin Durant, his own words on Twitter, where in 2010 he said, well, everybody wants to go to L.A. and Miami. It's like, okay, well, look, you're joining the club, you know? And people are like, well, he was 20 years old. I've said things at 20 years old that I regretted. I'm like, yeah, but you weren't a 20-year-old superstar millionaire like he was.
Well, you know? You make an interesting point, because all these people who are angry, it's like, you know, you're probably going to just disagree with me. Have you ever changed jobs before? Have you had the same job for, you know, 20, 15 years now?
I've changed jobs.
How come somebody else can't change jobs? How come someone else can't say, look, I had a good time here. I need to go and do what's best for me. No, you need to stay here forever. You need to, you know, and it's just his thing he wrote in the Players Tribune. That was just stupid. I need to make myself a better player. It's like, you're the top three player. How can you possibly get better?
Well, you know, and also internally, you try to find these justifications on both sides so that you can try to make a balanced argument so that you can kind of run away. So just, if you're just kind of like a more like intellectual type of a fan, you try to figure out, okay, well, he did it for the Players Tribune, which is Derek Jeter's, and he's like a co-owner of it, so it makes sense. And then you kind of think of, oh, well, when LeBron did it, even though he stabbed Cleveland in the back, basically, he did it for the Boys and Girls Club and did all those donations, so maybe that made it not as bad. And then you look at other things like Durant leaving Oklahoma City, but Oklahoma City had taken the Sonics away. So this is catchback for Clay Bennett being such a piece of trash. I mean, is there any kind of karma or any kind of like overlying storyline, you know, between Oklahoma City losing, you know, basically their Hall of Fame MVP superstar player, you know, and then, you know, LeBron at the same time in 2010, like, do you kind of feel a different type of hurt? Maybe some sadness more than Cleveland.
Well, this is just more sadness of like, because you know, thankfully everybody did the right thing. The Thunder are like, look, thank you for the times. We appreciate everything you've done for us.
Yeah,
good luck.
No Comic Sans this
Durant
time.
Durant was like, thank you guys so much. I need to, you know, move on for me. But I had, you know, a great time. Everybody was very cordial as opposed to the I'm leaving. You can't dump me. I'm dumping you. And then all the anger that came from. This was just sort of like, you know, Warriors fans, you know, after the initial happening, like, well, this is sort of, you know, there was not much happiness anywhere to be found.
Going into that Monday, the 4th of July, before obviously the morning when he revealed it on the Players Tribune, you and I on Sunday morning were fairly confident that he would come back. Was there a point where you started where the screw started to turn, where you felt, okay, this might not go the Thunder's way? Because Sam Presti in his press conference was fairly open. You know, didn't let everything out the bag. Like, I remember one of the reporters asked him if any player, like, a lot of players went with teams for the pitch meetings, but why didn't any players go with Presti? And Presti kind of took umbrage with it because he felt like the reporter had no idea what he was talking about. But outside of that, he was fairly open. And he admitted that he felt like there was a point pretty early in the process where he felt like they had lost him. Like, was there a point for you where you felt like, okay, this might not go the Thunder's way?
Well, in retrospect, that, you know, seems to be the case, but it's one of those, you know, in retrospect, you look at it, well, if you're looking to leave, you don't take other, you know, you would just, like, look at James Harden. James Harden just re-upped. He's like, I'm staying here. I've re-signed my deal. I want to stay here. You don't go, well, I want to see what other teams want to do. Carmelo really wanted to leave. In the end, he just couldn't pull the trigger because of all the extra money they were going to give him.
And thank God he didn't, because one of the teams he was going to go to, one of the two teams was either Houston or Chicago. I mean, those would have been terrible fits. So, to be honest with you, he should thank his lucky stars he's still with the Knicks.
What, being buried in mediocrity and he wasted away the last of his prime?
Versus Chicago and Houston, where you're buried in shit.
Yeah, but again, you know, nobody knows how different circumstances would go. But it's just like, you don't, and they had the interview with Wick Grosbeck, owner of the Celtics. He's like, yeah, we finished second place because I got the sense that Durant was leaving and we just lost out to Golden State. Oklahoma City was third. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, well, if you, you know, if you're trying, if you're going to stay, you know, he's been there for 9 years. There's nothing new the team can offer you.
Now let's talk about a team fit, because that's really the most important part of this, because Kevin Durant getting 2 years, $53 million is just not, I mean, whatever Kevin Durant's worth on that max level, which we've discussed before, where the cap is rising to 92 million or maybe 94.2 million, looks like it's going to estimate to rise at about 102 million. Some people felt like it was 104, but now the forecasters are dialing it back to 102. We're going to be at a point, by the way, this is just an off-topic, Adam, that by the summer of 2017, the salary floor is going to be at $90 million, which is like, I don't think teams have ever spent $90 million.
And that's sort of why everything is sort of out of whack.
Spending is so crazy, and people are like, this guy got this much money, my God. But that's just the new median. You know, you got to raise it up. It's like gas prices. Like, it's like you got to raise the median up.
Well, yeah, if Starbucks moves to town, well,
you get yourself stupid.
My $2 coffee is now $5. I need to adjust for it. It's, you know, and you notice the players who are getting it are sort of the young 20, you know, you're not seeing outside of these max guys. You're not seeing old veterans getting this 100 million here, 100 million there.
Yeah, they're the ones like Pau Gasol had to wait a little longer than, like, I say wait a little longer. He got signed on Tuesday by the Spurs, but he waited longer than a lot of the other quote unquote star players to get his deals, you know. So if age was not on your side, that was obviously the biggest detriment for any of these free agents. It was age. If you're like in your at 34 or older, good luck getting signed.
Yeah, and a lot shorter deals. You're seeing, oh, well, can you believe so-and-so got $15 million? Yeah, but it's for 2 years, so it doesn't really kill anybody. So, which is sort of smarter on the NBA part. Oh, we have no problem giving you the money. It's going to be sort of come like the NFL now, where, you know, we're just going to give everybody sort of 2 year guarantees and then 5 years of team options.
Okay, so we got so much to talk about, and Kevin Durant's a big story, but let's just try to wrap it up a little bit here with Durant going to the Warriors, talk about pros and cons. How good is the death lineup, even though Harrison Barnes is gone, Andrew Bogut, because of the salary situation, had to be traded to the Dallas Mavericks. Barnes went to Dallas, but that was on a separate contract. How difficult of a matchup will Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, along with Zsa Pachulia, who was one of their other signings at center, how difficult of a lineup is that going to be? Is that like an apocalypse lineup?
Well, now it is. At first, I had told you this is a very soft lineup, and you can run small ball for only so long. But what's going to happen when a team starts grinding you down and just starts playing big on you? Couple guys, you know, you get a couple cheap fouls on Draymond, and then now you're sort of kind of screwed. But Zsa is a complete steal.
Yeah, at $2.9 million for 1 year. You know.
Yeah, they got him, and it's just
they got
like,
David West. They re-signed James McAdoo and Ian Clark, and they also have Damian Jones and Patrick McCaw from the draft.
McCaw is the biggest winner of all of this. I will take the minimum. I don't care. Get me on that.
And he signed it immediately, like before summer league even began in Las Vegas. He's like, yes, give me that deal.
Like just an hour after draft ended. I don't care. I will take it.
But here's the problem, though. The depth is gone. We're talking a lot about Zsa and David West, because not only is Andrew Bogut gone because they had to shed the $11 million to make that work, but also Festus Ezeli is gone. They had to renounce his rights as a restricted free agent because they could not give him a qualifying offer, and they knew that a team was going to go over that, so they couldn't match anything. And so he went to Portland. Leandro Barbosa, who is valuable for them as a backup, you know, one or two, he's back with Phoenix. Brandon Rush went to the Timberwolves. Mo Spates went to the Clippers. You know, the depth that really made that line, that Warriors team extra special, it's basically gone.
Well, the depth that made the team was Iguodala as the sixth man. So,
and he would be the leader of the second team sometimes.
Yeah, and so now all you have is Sean Livingston and David West, who's probably going to play center for them now.
Yeah, he can get away with it. He's physical, you know.
But it's just, well, you better hope somebody doesn't get injured. And they've been lucky with injuries the past few years. But if one of those three go down, you have nobody to replace. Nobody, there's nobody backing up Durant right now.
73 wins plus is just not, it's not feasible to me. I think they're going to kind of play the long game. But what are your chances here for Golden State to win the championship? Would you say like over 70%?
I wouldn't say 70, but I would say I would have said 60.
Okay.
62.
So you're saying there's a better chance for others than a lot of people would assume. Like in Miami, a lot of people are like, this isn't going to work. But that was more the vitriol, like we were talking about. That was more the hatred. Like, oh, I hate this new super team. I hope they fucking fail. Like, whereas the Warriors, you know, a lot of people like the Warriors, but now we're kind of seeing that heelishness, to steal a phrase, coming out from some of the fans where it's like, oh, really? Did the Warriors have to get Kevin Durant? They really had to go with the bazooka like that, you know?
Yeah, and that's just the 24/7 Curry ESPN page. And what are the Warriors doing today? What are the people just get sick of it. And, you know, you don't forget the Cavaliers are still the champions and they lost nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Thus far to this point.
They lost Mozgov and Dellavedova, who barely played in the last two NBA playoff series.
Yeah, you might as well tell me they lost Sasha Khan too at that rate. You know, it's they lost nobody of importance. So they're still the champions, and Golden State, everybody's now going to be gunning for them because they're just now the evil team because they're the super team. And what we need to, you know, okay, we're still a shitty club, but we can measure ourselves if we go hard against Golden State. So even like, you know, the Brooklyns and the Phillies, they're going to be still gunning for them as opposed to, well.
And I'll say this too, the West is doomed. You know, that's the one thing that I've kind of took from this is that, okay, I don't know if they'll win the championship, but there's no one in the Western Conference that can come close to them. Like the one team that could have done it was Oklahoma City, and you kind of broke it up.
Oklahoma City was the one team, and then I think I'm the only one left on this bandwagon, but if it weren't for Zaza, I still say the Clippers have matchup problems galore. The Warriors, you'd taken down Blake and DeAndre. That's, you know, you're not stopping either of those. They're just going to be just dunking on you the entire game.
Well, that's actually a decent, you know, because we're going to be going down the line. Let's just kind of go with the Western Conference. The Clippers basically stood pat. You know, they had to kind of go backwards, though. They had to make decisions on their lesser deals, on their guys with their, because they're at the cap apron because they've used the stretch provision. They've used their, you know, they've used their mid-level, you know, mid-level.
They've made every bad Doc Rivers decision possible.
They've tried to cut every corner possible to try to squeeze in the contracts that they have, especially when they re-signed DeAndre Jordan after a banana boat happened last year. And so they re-signed Wesley Johnson, 3 years, $18 million. Austin Rivers, 3 for $36 million. I know a lot of people are going to like think that we're glazing over these deals. Like, oh my God, you're not going to talk about it. Austin Rivers getting $12 million a year. Yes, it's a lot of money, but the median salary by 2017 is going to be $9 million for an average NBA player. You know, do you consider Austin Rivers an above average NBA player? Probably not. But, you know, sometimes you got to overspend to keep guys. And that's how this happens. They got Spates on minimum money. They got Luke and Mbah Moute basically on minimum money. And then they had to squeeze out all the cap room that they had and put together the re-signing for Jamal Crawford because they struck out on Kevin Durant. They couldn't get, you know, Dwayne Wade. They couldn't get anybody like that. So they settled back on Jamal Crawford. So basically, the boys are back in town in L.A.
Yeah, they just, you know, they got, their window is closing fast, and I think
this is the year. Like, we say it with the Clippers a couple times, but this is the year.
Yeah, this is the year, and there's really nothing after this year because then they're just sort of all too old. And
well, not only that, Redick's done, Chris Paul can opt out, and Blake Griffin's on the end of his deal. You don't even know if you want to keep him, you know, so this is going to be batten down the hatches.
Yeah, Paul's going to opt out, but nobody knows how much money do you give him because he has way too much miles on him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, the problem was the whole team got injured towards the end with Austin Rivers being the only healthy one, pretty much.
The other team that was a legitimate, you know, threat with the Western Conference championship versus Golden State along with Oklahoma City was the San Antonio Spurs. A lot of times, you know, their free agency looks a little kind of tame. Now, since getting LaMarcus Aldridge and re-signing Kawhi Leonard, it's gotten a little more interesting for the Spurs because it was the first time that they really, like, used their capital to load up. You know, they sort of they kind of redid their entire balance sheet on their salary cap because it used to be very, very well balanced. Almost everybody at the top made the same amount of money. When they re-signed Kawhi to that max level contract along with LaMarcus Aldridge, it kind of made things a little more it gave more disparity. So now you have to play with the numbers a little more. So Tim Duncan is still in a phase where he is strongly considering retirement, according to sources. Now, we don't know if it's been announced that he's going to retire. We don't know what the timetable is there because he's already opted into the money that he was owed. But they've already pulled the trigger on re-signing Manu Ginobili and signing Pau Gasol to a 2-year, $30 million contract. They also got Dwayne Dedmon, a big man from Orlando. And then they drafted DeJounte Murray, who's their point guard out in the summer league right now. So is Pau Gasol getting signed along with, you know, letting go Boban Marjanovic, his rights, trading Boris Diaw out of the Jazz? Is this all a sign that Tim Duncan is out the door?
I don't say it's a sign out the door. It's just, well, you know, money crunches happen for all teams, even the ones who are superly well managed, like, you know, like San Antonio. You know, everyone has tons of money to spend. Well, they, you know, they didn't. Yeah, they still had to cut people.
But does it concern you that R.C. Buford is actually, for maybe the first time ever, that R.C. Buford's in a position where he's gonna have to, he kind of has to squeeze out as much cap room as he can to just try to find anybody? Because Pau Gasol defensively is a really bad fit for them. He's not a great pick and roll defender. He doesn't work well with LaMarcus Aldridge in my eyes. Offensively, yeah, he can still do some damage and he can hit some jumpers, which is going to make him and LaMarcus at the mid-range level really, really hard to beat. But, you know, there are some issues I have with Pau Gasol, and I felt like the Spurs got a tad it just smells a little bit of desperation.
Well, you need to, even if Gasol isn't a fit, you know, he could still come off the bench and, mm-hmm. you know, Duncan's not going to be playing 30 minutes anymore. So you need to do something in this now new NBA because everybody, you know, the Clippers are super. I mean, the Warriors are a super team and everybody else is still getting better. And, well, you can't just become that. Well, we got too old and now we have nothing.
So would you give this grade kind of like an incomplete for the Spurs, or would you give it a thumbs up?
I would say thumbs up. It was a solid, you know, a high IQ smart player. Is he the best? No. Is he?
Now, losing Diaw, it doesn't hurt them all the way through in terms of quality of play because he really started to come down. But he was, like you said, he was such a smart player, you know? Mm-hmm. So I kind of felt bad about watching Diaw go. You know, he's a decent fit at Utah. We're not going to talk about that one much, but he's a decent fit at Utah, being friends with Rudy Gobert. So we'll see how that works. But, yeah, you can keep going.
You need to do something, and even if it's just getting an old person for another old person, you can't just stand pat anymore.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about Memphis Grizzlies with re-signing Mike Conley to what is now known in most eyes as Supermax. 5 years, $153 million. Is Mike Conley worth that? Is he worth over $30 million a year? To me, $30 million a year means you can lead your team to the conference finals at the least. That means that you are the best of the best. That if you're a point guard and you make $30 million, you're one of the two, three, or four best point guards on the planet. Like, is Mike Conley deserving of that? But here's the side question. Did Memphis have no choice?
As a player, no, he's not worth it. To the city, yes, he is, because the drop-off after him, there's, you know, after that renaissance and that golden era of NBA point guards, we've had a couple years where there hasn't been anybody good coming up.
Yeah. And you, you can watch it in the Summer League with Emmanuel Mudiay. And, you know, I like Chris Dunn. He had a decent little showing in the Summer League. But, I mean, the fact that guys, second-year players like D'Angelo Russell and Emmanuel Mudiay are still in the Summer League trying to learn, it's like, wow, we still got a ways to go with some of these dudes.
Well, watching Mudiay and Dunn and even and Russell, it's just like, well, they're not trying to be point guards. They're trying to be shooting guards.
Yes.
And everybody just wants to be James Harden as opposed to, well,
they want to be attacking guards. Yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to everyone is so down on Ricky Rubio, but he's just a point guard. That's what you need. If you have a team with shooters, you don't need the point guard who's going to be that attacking scorer who scores 30 points a game. But so there was a huge drop off after him, and then they hadn't, you know, there's nobody period coming up where, well, we, you think we might be able to steal this guy? No, because Memphis hasn't been a hotbed for free agents ever.
And the point guard class was so bad after Conley that, you know, the only thing you could have done was maybe start Wade Baldwin from the draft. I mean, they really didn't, they were really out of options, like you're saying.
Yeah, they weren't in a position to get, you know, if you see the deals go there, well, what do we do, go after Jeremy Lin, or what do we go after, you know, Rondo? Well, if you want a stopgap, but there's no really body
like
to develop.
Like a Langston Galloway or an Etuan Moore.
Yeah, because there's nobody, they didn't develop any talent. Their roster had been the same roster since the 80s, pretty much.
Now, it's Chandler Parsons getting 4 years for $94 million after Dallas basically shunned him. What you felt about that one?
That's a horrible deal.
Horrible, you say.
He is not a max player. One, two, his injury status doesn't make him. He, you know, he was always the third option on that Dallas team, and
he was the third option in Houston, I believe. You know, after Harden and Dwight.
You know, and so you don't give max money to the third best player on the team, especially one who has injury problems. And that was a desperation move of, we don't want to rebuild, because if we rebuild, we need to now start taking offers for everybody who's not Marc Gasol. And we're not in a position to rebuild because we have no young assets on our team.
Yeah, Matt Barnes is gone to Sacramento, and Lance Stevenson is still out in the open. They've already let him go on the team option, so very unlikely he'll come back. So, you know, for Memphis, it kind of means Robert Parra, like, basically decided, okay, I've got to spend this to stay relevant. And, you know, getting Chandler Parsons to sign there kind of made Memphis for a little while feel like a destination franchise. They were in the Eric Gordon sweepstakes late in the process before they basically realized they didn't have enough money to get him. So they used the rest of their cap room exception money to get James Ennis, who I remember played for the Heat and the Hornets, or the Pelicans. I keep mixing that up with the New Orleans franchise. But, you know, it kind of keeps them relevant. It keeps their head above water, which actually is not the worst idea. I just hope that the Parsons deal and the Conley deal in the later years doesn't drown them. That's my
opinion. It probably will, but depending upon the way the cap goes, the deals might be better. And, you know, as I think I mentioned a long time ago in a previous episode, you're going to start seeing a way more stretch provisions of, well, we can afford to, you know, put $8 million in dead money for...
Because unbelievably, with all these signings, people are still under the cap because of the fact that there was no cap smoothing. You literally are gaining about $14 to $16 million in cap space. It's like, okay, how do we use this cap space, you know? And that's where you're seeing some of these odd deals. And speaking of some of these odd deals, you want to just talk about the Lakers and get it over with?
They're not a free agent destination anymore. They're like that old person, you know, who's still like, oh, yeah, look at me, I got my hot rod. It's like, no, man, you're 80 and you don't have it anymore.
Is this rock bottom for the Lakers, or do you feel like there's a little bit of hope there?
There was hope. We got, you know, you have two number two picks in the last 2 years. You're going to probably have
Russell
another one.
Brandon Ingram, you're right.
And that's how teams, you know, the Oklahoma City had a bunch of lottery picks, Golden State a bunch of, that's how you build a team, but you don't give, you know, Timofey Mozgov $60 million. You don't give Luol Deng a
Luol
ton of
Deng getting 3 years at $72 million stunned me. It stunned me.
Not when you have Brandon Ingram. Well, he can play a power forward. You have Julius Randle, who also is your developing guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the concept of, you need to go with a youth movement, but yet you're going to bring in overpriced veterans who will now stifle that.
Yeah, now Timofey Mozgov looked great in the 2015 finals. Now, that's a small sample size compared to the rest of his career. But he had some, you know, efficiency-wise, people really liked him when he was in Denver. You know, and like I already talked about, you know, in Cleveland he had that one stretch where he looked terrific. You know, but that was on a very depleted Cleveland roster because Kyrie was hurt and Kevin Love was hurt. Barely played on the championship team. But, you know, 65 million, you know, 4 years, 65 million, you do the math, and that's 17 million a year. So people, and it was all, here's the thing too, it was like the first deal signed. So people were like, okay, if the Lakers were competing for bigs, who were they competing against? Because nobody was going to offer him that. You know, it was a little bit of a brain fart.
Yeah, that was, we need to rush out and get him because we need to get a big, we need to get a big, we need to get a big. For that money, you could have gotten somebody a little better who might fit your system a little better. And it's just, I don't, you know, Luke Walton has his job cut out for him because that team is not built for really anything right now.
Yeah, I guess Luol Deng, if you wanted like a placeholder small forward in case Brandon Ingram like physically isn't prepared to play the three, yeah, that makes sense. That's cool. But you signed to a 3 or 4 year contract. You know, yeah, that's going to be hard to get out from under.
And then you re-signed Jordan Clarkson for 3 years.
Well, it was like 4 years, $50 million. You know, now it's not an arenas provision deal per se. It's not like the one Tyler Johnson got as an offer sheet from the Nets where they pay him like very little on the first 2 years and then on the back end because the team that they were originally with only had early bird rights because they were like second round picks or, you know, like they were undrafted free agents. So when you sign an offer sheet to them, the way that you can, you know, force the team to not be able to match the offer sheet is by, you know, not giving them so much in the first 2 years, maybe giving them like, you know, five or six million and then really loading it on the back end. But that's not what Jordan Clarkson got, which a lot of people thought he was going to get from the Lakers so that the Lakers could save some cap space. Instead, they just went ahead and gave him a 4 year, $50 million contract where he makes basically $12 to $13 million a year every year.
Yeah. And how you, I don't know how you, I don't know what they're trying to do there. So they will have themselves in the lottery for another. I think they're just going to wait till that, you know, their lottery pick becomes a, you know, 2 second rounders because it's not smart moves.
Let's kind of wrap up the West here. Dallas Mavericks, you know, always fishing for the big ones. They never get them, but they found a couple of salmon. How do you say salmon? Salmon. I'm not there today. But they found a couple of salmon, I guess. Harrison Barnes, 4 years, $95 million. Basically the same deal Chandler Parsons got. Are you okay with this one?
He's a horrible player, and maybe little was asked of him is going to be a lot different now, saying you're going to have to be the face of the franchise probably next year, not this year, but...
Be honest with me, because, you know, I made this joke on a wrestling episode where I said... you know, because I was talking about how I wanted a stable, like a wrestling stable, but you need everybody in the stable, and it was three guys, and the third guy is not really like terrific, but I was like, okay, yeah, but I need that stable. So like, I made the argument on the show. I said, well, it's like Harrison Barnes. Like, you don't want Harrison Barnes per se, but you want the death lineup. So you, in order to complete the lineup, you need Harrison Barnes. How much of an improvement is it now from Harrison Barnes to Durant? Seriously.
It's a vast improvement, but Harrison Barnes played a role. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, Durant is supposed to be a superstar. And the always question is, well, will they align up and will they all buy into this team concept? And of course they will. It's just there's going to be some headaches early on because right now they're not all going to fit.
So him and Bogut, they're leaving the Golden State money train and they're going over to Dallas. You know, now Barnes is getting paid, obviously. Do you think he'll be a better fit in Dallas than Chandler Parsons was?
Yeah, Chandler Parsons never really got going there, again, because of injuries, but...
And they wanted a big so bad, they tried to sign Hassan Whiteside, and it didn't
happen. They were just desperate, and this was the panic. Look, we'll just give anybody... You want a max? Okay, we'll just give it to you. We're not going to even interview you. We'll just... You want your money? Just sign it. Come on over. They can't they can't take you. We'll take Bogut, too, because they can't take him. We'll give you, you know...
Yeah. And Houston Rockets, can we give them a double negative? Because not only did they lose Dwight Howard, they replaced him with Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon. And Ryan Anderson is a four-year, $80 million contract, and Eric Gordon is a four-year, $53 million. Eric Gordon, who did absolutely nothing for New Orleans, somehow got another $53 million.
Yeah, but now this 53 is a complete disappointment. In this day where, you know, sort of 4 years, 75 is the crazy amount. This is 4 year, 53. It's just like, wow, you kind of.
But 4 years, $80 million for Ryan Anderson, a stretch four who can't play defense.
Yeah, and, well, that's the perfect D'Antoni guy of just, oh, you got to come down and just shoot a three and go back. But they don't, that team is just, I don't know how they're going to really, you know, D'Antoni is such a horrible fit for that team. And Clint Capella cannot play. He's not a running gunner, so.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody is drawing raves from Sam Decker in the summer league or Montrezl Harrell yet. So, we'll, you know, they got some younger names there that they can use. KJ McDaniels is still there. So, you know, they got somewhat of a future with the Rockets, but, you know, it all revolves around the beard. I mean, it's James Harden's team. And I say that also in a detrimental way because, you know, Harden is such a selfish player, you know. So, you know, if you're willing to sacrifice and not have as many shots, you know, and not be the not be the spotlight, you know, for Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon, fine, go to Houston. But I think they're going to fail. And as a Pelicans fan, thank you so much for taking them. Because
we had mentioned, you know, and the coaches thing. It's like, well, if you want to appease Harden, you get D'Antoni. If you want to make your team better, you get whoever the other guy was.
Well, how about you get a center that can replace Dwight Howard? That would have been pretty smart. They got Nene, but Nene is what, 36 years old?
Well, he's a serviceable backup. Clint Capella is a good big, and he's developing, and that's, you know, no need to replace somebody with another big-name guy if you have a surprisingly developing center, as opposed to, well, you know, he came along slow. He didn't, you know, he came over from Europe. We didn't really want him over. Oh, he... You know, he's now a starter because he's actually pretty proficient in 2 years, but he doesn't fit what you have, so, good luck.
Let's talk about, really quickly, the New Orleans Pelicans, that's my team, their money ball move. Solomon Hill, 4 years, $48 million. It can go up to $50 million based on incentives. Etuan Moore, who was last with the Bulls, 4 years, $34 million. A lot of people like Solomon Hill as a 3-and-D prospect. It's the same reason Jared Dudley got paid by the Suns. Langston Galloway also, when they pulled the qualifying offer from him in New York when New York ran out of cap space. So, I know you don't know much about these guys, you know, because, I mean, we've seen them. I mean, we've seen Etuan Moore in Orlando and Chicago. We've seen Solomon Hill in Indiana. But, you know, I'm a little biased, so I'm going to leave this one to you.
At first, I was going to say it was a horrible move, but they're not looking to contend this year. They're going to say, let's take a year off. Let's do the New York Knicks plan of let's bolster our bench.
Mm-hmm.
But we got Buddy Hield, who, you know, is replaced Eric Gordon. We got Anthony Davis. Let's take another year of being bad and then get a point guard or a small forward when those two go next year.
Yeah, and people mock them because they're like, oh, and look at this. They only got these two guys and they're already out of cap space. Yeah, but Drew Holiday and Tyreke Evans are off the books next year. That's $22 million you're getting back.
Yeah, so they're looking towards next year. So I can't fault them because they had no bench. If, mm-hmm. you know, remember week one, I believe, was it the first game they had to sign and then start Nate Robinson because no, everybody
it
was...
It was Ish Smith. It was Nate Robinson and Ish Smith.
Everybody was injured literally the opening game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So to get depth is a good thing. So
we're desperately trying to trade the last year of Reek's contract and try to bundle Ashik with it, but no one wants it. I mean, nobody wants both of those deals. They'll take one, but not both, you know.
Yeah.
But you wait until the trade deadline when someone's desperate for a big. So, you know, cross our fingers. Portland, this one was interesting. You know, Festus Ezeli, 2 years, $16 million. That's actually a good deal. You know, Festus Ezeli is a decent center prospect. Evan Turner for 4 years, $75 million. That was one of the WTF deals, you know.
Well, you trade Alan Crabb for Evan Turner, and Evan Turner doesn't really, you know, it's not Evan Turner's fault.
Yeah, and by signing Turner so early in the process, you basically priced yourself out on Alan Crabb when Brooklyn gave him the money he got. And we'll talk about the East in a second, but, you know, Basically, yeah, you're trading off. You're trading off Crabbe for Turner.
And it's not really an upgrade, and yeah, you need to save money from a Collins deal next year, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I guess they wanted Chandler Parsons, and when Parsons went to Memphis, they just said, okay, let's just go with Evan Turner.
Yeah, they panicked, and Azealia is good, but didn't he... didn't he just have some sort of off-season surgery or something?
I'm not sure, but obviously he struggled replacing Bogut in the starting lineup for the Warriors. But listen, you're playing the second best team or the best team in the NBA in Cleveland. I mean, that's you're being switched off against LeBron James on ball screens. I mean, that's an incredibly hard matchup. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So these picks,
He was he was the Bill Buckner. Like, he was the one that people look at. You see, Azealia's the weak link. Let's get rid of him. And Golden State is like, dude, you need him. He's your center. You know.
Everyone was quick to say how smart they were last year for not panicking and just, you know, making some smart under the radar deals. And it seems they really just sort of undo it with giving in Evan Turner that much money.
Utah getting Joe Johnson and George Hill and Boris Diaw, old reliables.
Well, that's probably the smartest team in the off season because
they barely paid for it, you know?
Well, what do we, you know, they didn't give up anything to get them, and what we kept saying was, well, this team is too young, they're too young, they need some veteran leadership. Okay, let's bring in veterans. What does, you know, Diaw, George Hill, and Joe Johnson can also be coaches to these young players?
Yeah, point guard, power forward, and shooting guard, you're right.
Mm-hmm. So you have, like, three other coaches on the floor who can help this young, developing team. So that was an extremely smart move.
Yeah, it's kind of like what Minnesota did. The only difference is that Utah's a little further along, so maybe that might be just enough to push them in the playoffs. Oklahoma City, I mean, does your heart go out to them?
No.
Why not?
It's sad you lose Kevin Durant, but... And now, you know, the talk just goes to, oh, they're going to, you know, Westbrook's going to leave them too. They need to trade Westbrook. And it's just like, well, you know, you built your roster. You've done what you can. All you could do is just keep, you know, making good deals. And I don't feel – it's not like Cleveland was just – which I think, you know, people were shocked by this. It's like, all right, he left, but,
you know. They get obviously an incomplete because even though they made the trade where they got Victor Oladipo, they didn't make any signings after this because they were holding us – they had held out for Kevin Durant. Now the speculation is, okay, now that Durant's out the door, how long before Russell Westbrook might be out the door since he's in the last year of his contract and he's not negotiating an extension and blah, blah, blah. This is a big fad, back to the future, to be continued. So let's just – move along here. Minnesota getting Cole Aldrich and Brandon Rush.
Neither of them are going to do anything.
Denver Nuggets re-signing Daryl Arthur.
He was he's a good glue guy, and he's a high IQ player who could help, you know, the depth. And really the issue with Denver is that, you know, their small forwards are made of glass with Gallinari, and Wilson Chandler was out for the year with an injury, so...
The Kings, I might just add a laugh track. They got Matt Barnes, Anthony Tolliver, Garrett Temple, and Aaron Aflalo. Small deals, you know, Aflalo's is a two-year, $25 million deal. Second year is not guaranteed. A lot of these are partial guarantees on the last year, which for an NBA GM is actually pretty smart. Tolliver, two-year, $16 million, the second year's not fully guaranteed. Garrett Temple, I like Garrett Temple. He's an LSU dude. He's kind of sort of a 3-and-D, but he's not a great shooter. But, I mean, are any of these good fits under Dave Yeager, the new head coach in Sacramento?
No, none of those are good fits. They're looking to trade Rudy Gay. And
yeah,
they
now
could
Barnes,
probably get...
Barnes works if you trade Gay because he's familiar with Yeager. So.
Yeah, so you could get, I guess it depends on what you could get for Gay, because he has value in the league, and it's just, you got to get rid of Cousins. This team is not, you know, doing anything for him, nor are they trying to build around him by, you know, signing five big men. And
what about the reunion of the 2010 Suns with Jared Dudley and Leandro Barbosa going back to Phoenix?
To join all the Kentucky Wildcat guards.
Can I ask one serious question? When did all of a sudden Jared Dudley get this reputation that he was a 3-and-D guy? Like, at what point did people just start saying that Jared Dudley can play defense?
Because they need to say something like, well, he has the size.
I need to see the efficiency numbers. I need to see them.
Because there aren't really any. It's just he was always that, well, he's that good locker room guy. He's mm-hmm. that sort of coach on the floor. Well, then he's the 3 and D guy because he's a small forward and doesn't do anything well.
He was non-existent in Washington. Now, he was decent in Milwaukee, but in Washington, I barely remember him. Then again,
yeah, but I think that was coaching scheme and was just marginalized there.
All right, let's shift on over to the Eastern Conference. You know, a lot of movement, obviously, here. We'll start with your Boston Celtics. You know, the funniest part is that the free agency movement was so fast that literally, like, I remember, like, about maybe a couple days ago on the radio, people were like, well, what is Boston doing? Boston's not doing anything. I'm like, duh, they signed Al Horford, 4 years, $113 million. The thing is, they didn't make any splashy signings after that. They didn't layer it on top because the truth is with Boston, along with the draft picks that they got, they don't really have room for anybody.
Yeah, it's sort of the, I don't want to say the landscape we're in now, but if you rile up everybody to, well, we're going to get DeMarcus Cousins, we're going to get Jimmy Butler, we're going to get everybody, and then, well, you got Horford, well, we still don't have Jimmy Butler. The only thing that sort of worries me about Al Horford, not, you know, he's going to be 34.
It's the fact that you have to call him his real name, Al Horford.
I don't have that problem of the accent, so it doesn't really bother me whatsoever. But the only problem I have is they gave him Vin Baker's old number.
Oh, okay, so you think he's cursed.
Because 15 was Tommy Heinsohn, and, you know, the problem with the Celtics is half their numbers are already in the roster.
Did they retire Heinsohn's number, playing number?
They did.
Okay, so you could still wear it, though?
No.
Okay. Oh, you're talking about because Horford wore 15 and he can't wear it.
Because Horford wore 15, okay. And there's so many numbers in the rafters and all the people already on the roster, mm-hmm. they just gave him Vin Baker's 42, and it's just
Didn't Leon Poe wear that, too?
Leon Poe was zero.
Okay, and then who was Tony Allen? Was he 40?
Tony Allen was he also 42?
I thought he was. Because I remember, I thought he was wearing 42 when he tore his ACL when he tried to make a dunk after a foul.
I think he was, yeah.
Maybe he changed his number after he wore 42 and he injured himself. Like, I can't remember. Tricker Tony, as Bill Simmons used to like to call him.
He was 42.
But Al Horford, he's a great fit. They needed rim protection.
High character, high, you know, smart player.
Brett Stevens is going to love him. You know?
Yeah, and Horford's going to excel in his system because they had no rim protector and it was just Amir Johnson and...
Whose team option they picked up? I'm not sure about Jarebko, though.
They picked him up both. Okay. It's just Jarebko's was...
They were holding out hope. They were the dangling carrot of, okay, we can do this sign and trade where you can cut these guys. He was the Brendan Haywood. Brendan Haywood was that for Cleveland last year, where it's like, hey, we got this $20 million team option. You can shed cap. You can have instant cap space, but...
No, they were basically told... If we don't get any big-name signings, we'll re-sign you, but we need to see if we can get the Durant or we could get Jimmy Butler or somebody. And, you know, they said, okay, we'll play nice, we'll delay our team options, and then they got picked up. And both are great players, especially for their prices now.
Okay, let's talk about the 2011 All-Star team, the New York Knicks.
Oh, they are... You know, one of my friends, good friends, he's a Knicks fan, and I try to sort of talk him off the ledge with this one. It's mm-hmm. The window with Carmelo is so extremely short now,
mm-hmm.
because outside of Dwayne Wade, name me one player who is that good at that age.
You're talking about Carmelo Anthony?
Yeah.
At this age, maybe Pau Gasol? Maybe?
But that's a big man, so...
Okay.
Mm. We're talking guard, small forward, because, you know, Carmelo is now 32, so Wade is 30.
Durant, I believe Durant is 30, am I right? Or is he 29?
I think he's 29.
Okay, he's getting close. LeBron is in his 30s, but LeBron LeBron's a supernova. You can't.
And he's changed his game, but you know, out look at Joe Johnson. He was 32. All right, he's good. 33. Ooh, he's falling. 34. Boom. He's
done. Yeah, he's off the ledge. Yeah.
So you need to do something. Where let's hope we have enough. You know, Derrick Rose is good. His contract and where he was made it unrealistic.
Yeah, and it's expiring deal, so it makes sense.
Joakim Noah was good, and this was last year was the first year he got injured. You know, lengthy.
You don't have a problem with the 4 years, $72 million for Joakim Noah?
Well, I'm saying this is, they're built for 2 years.
Okay, okay.
Years three and four, they are now utterly screwed. And
especially Courtney. Well, Courtney Lee, $10 million a year is not the worst. I think it's 4 years, $50 million. But it's really not the worst. Like, I thought Eric Gordon was a worser fit. Like, when I heard they were going after Eric Gordon, I was like, no, I don't think that would work at all.
Yeah, but Courtney Lee is also... been on like 20 teams and hasn't.
And he's in his 30s. You know,
he's in his 30s. He's not moving the needle.
That's true. Brandon Jennings, 1 year, $5 million. That's
smart for a backup.
Deal. It's a great deal. You know?
Super good for a backup.
Re-sign Lance Thomas. Bringing in the other Hernan Gomez, Willie Hernan Gomez. That's the big one. The more stretchy, like smaller guy is Juan Hernan Gomez with the Nuggets. Justin Holiday came with Derrick Rose on that on the trade. So it's a very, very different team. They barely had any room for anyone. That's why they had to let Langston Galloway go. Robin Lopez obviously is gone along with Jerry and Grant. And Derek Williams, they as a player option along with Aaron Aflalo, they're gone, both of them. So it's going to be a very different team. I don't know if this is like a New York – a Brooklyn Nets 2013 vibe when Pierce and Garnett got and Terry went there, and it was like
sort of is without giving up all the picks, because all they're looking to do, I think, is just make the playoffs next year.
Well, that's the thing. I remember like midway through that season in 2013-14 for the Nets, my expectation was, okay, if Brooklyn gets one playoff series win, that would be a victory for them, but it's not going to be a victory in the eyes of their fans because of what they gave up, you know? And I wonder if there's going to be a disparity in expectation between the fan base and the casual fan who realistically looks at this roster and says, okay, how far can this team really go, you know?
Well, they're putting unreal expectations on Porzingis.
Mm-hmm. Now he's got to be like the glue guy.
He has to, because he's the only youth piece they have right now. Mm-hmm. There is no other young guy on that team.
It was a bit of an overreaction. Like, Minnesota, to me, is not an overreaction with Tom Thibodeau. They got a lot of really good young pieces. That makes sense. Like, you've got one guy that, you know, that's got youth on his side. He was a rookie last year, and you can do a lot with him. But if that one guy doesn't work out down the road, I mean, like, this happened with Tyreke Evans in Sacramento. You know, where he had a great rookie year.
And then just peaked.
And it peaked and it was over. And it was like, and Sacramento, you know, smart by them, got out of it and said, okay, we don't want to, when he was a restricted free agent, said, you know what, fuck it. We'll just trade him to the Pelicans. The Pelicans will give him the money he wants.
But that's what you, as a Pelicans, that's what you sort of have to do, is hope they take that next step.
Yeah.
But not give, you know, a shit ton of money to them.
But can Kristaps Porzingis, you know, take that step? I mean, that's the big question.
That is the question, and he's going to have a lot of veterans to do it with, so they're going to all want the ball. So I don't know. Though the Knicks at least will be watchable, which they haven't been for a couple years now.
Watchability. A lot of times we've seen the Chicago Bulls on television. This past season, when they were on the Saturday primetime games on ABC and the Sunday afternoon games, we kind of scoffed at it because they were just not a very good team at all. Derrick Rose, just it seemed like things were going out of favor with him. Jimmy Butler got a knee injury, which really hurt them. It was kind of the same team, only Fred Hoiberg was running it instead of Tom Thibodeau. And offensively, they were trying to improve. They were trying to improve the pace, but it seemed like nothing changed. And they missed the playoffs. So they trade Derrick Rose away. And now, this is where it got a little interesting. Not only did they bring in Rajon Rondo, who, you know, as a point guard, they did need a point guard when they traded away Rose, even though they did have a couple of options on the board. But when Antoine Moore left to the Pelicans, then they really needed a point guard. So signing Rondo made sense. But then came the exit of Wade County out of Miami, Dwayne Wade going to the Chicago Bulls on a 2-year, $50 million deal. Let's just go ahead and tie this in with the Miami one. How do you feel about Dwayne Wade leaving the Heat?
Well, thankfully Durant left first, so there was really no emotional energy left for Wade.
Yeah, but the Miami fan base is always kind of seen as a little bit bandwagonish, you know.
Well, the problem is the Miami fan base is halfly non-existent due to their empty arenas.
But that was Wade was like an institution for the Heat.
And that was the problem was the way it wasn't the way he left. He's like, "Yeah, I left. I have to go." And Miami, you know, Riley's like, "Yeah, whatever. I don't care." And it was just the you know, there's no remorse if you leave. You played hardball with him so long. Keep taking cuts. All right, I've taken enough cuts. I want to get paid now. Nah, you take another cut. So I'm going to go after Durant. I'm going to give Whiteside all this money. But, you know, you could still take a cut, right?
Well, he went into these meetings with the expectation, oh, Wade's a soldier. He'll be on board with what we want to do. He's a team player. And this was like the third or, like you said, the third or fourth year in a row. It's like, I'm really going to have to negotiate my way back into a good deal because you think you can make – you could put in new players around me. I should be the top priority. I'm the one that carried that team to the second round of the playoffs. And to be honest with you, Adam, he did carry them to the second round of the playoffs.
Well, he was the one who won their first title.
Yeah, well, not only that, I'm talking about last season.
Yeah, I know, but you know? he was the one who willed them and had this, you know, this, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. age-defying.
Do you think the trip there? Where did they go? Were they in? They were overseas. LeBron and Dwayne Wade on vacation. Where did they go? Do you remember?
Not a clue.
Do you think that it had the conversations between LeBron and Wade had any kind of influence there, where LeBron was saying, "You know what? Screw Pat Riley. I got from under his wing. You can do it too."
No, I think it was just more, you know, are you happy there? Are you glad you left? What do you think? He's like, "You know what? It was good. We had our good times, but in the end, you need to look out for you. You're older than me, and you've been taking a lot less, so."
And,
you know, and then he went home. It was also he went home, so people weren't too angry about that. You know, a lot of it was like, oh, he's going to go to Cleveland. He's going to give the big FU and just say.
There was absolutely no way that was going to happen. Just economically, it was not possible.
Well, yeah, but it's like, I'll take the veteran minimum. I'm going to go there just for an FU. It's like, oh,
well,
storyline.
Well, Chicago is his hometown, you know. And a lot of people are like, well, yeah, but Dwayne Wade had gotten a divorce from his first wife who lives in Chicago. It would have been awkward. He loves Miami and blah, blah. That was like the first time he was a free agent in 2010. But now it became real. That offer was on the table. And bing, bang, boom, Dwayne Wade is playing with Rajon Rondo and Jimmy Butler. It's not really a big three. It's kind of like a really, like a fairly sized three, I guess you could say.
It's not a big three. It's just like a one and one and one.
So do you think it'll be a lot of one on one, on one, on one?
It's just going to be, I don't know how all the three, I don't know how those three will coexist. Especially the problem is Fred Hoiberg didn't do too good last year. And
he was trying to do the three-point shooting thing, you know, like he did at Iowa State, and he had a team that was a terrible fit. And now this team's an even worser fit for that.
Yeah, the team didn't like it. The team said, we wish we had our own coach. We wish you'd act like the old coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, bringing in more pieces that don't fit your style, so you need to adapt. You know, the good thing is they have... Yeah, you lose Noah and Gasol, but Bobby Portis, nice developing. Mitt Roddick, I hope he comes back because he looked completely half lost, half marginalized.
Got Doug McDermott, who kind of turned a corner, but you know he's limited in his skills. And then you've got Robin Lopez, who's coming in from that Knicks trade.
Solid player, not going to wow you, but
Denzel Valentine is a rookie point guard / small forward. Jerry and Grant. So, you know, they got a little bit more youth on their side now, for sure. I mean, they don't
have to completely reset around Jimmy Butler, but they're not – I don't see this team really doing
– Well, that's the funny thing, too. Gar Foreman, I felt like this is sort of something where he had a real, like, about-face. Because I remember early in the process after they traded Rose, he did a press conference. He basically said, we got to get younger. Okay, so you sign Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade, who are, like, a combined 64 years old? You know?
Yeah, but after Rondo, the next best point guard was Brandon Jennings, and after Brandon Jennings
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's an about face. He looked at what's available. And said, okay.
Yeah, and
we need to do something.
That's the same thing with Mike Conley as well. If we don't get Conley, get Rondo. But Rondo doesn't fit our system.
You don't have any debate about Dwayne Wade going into 2017 and 18 being worth $25 million a year.
That's just more they paid him based upon previous earning, previous, you know, and hopefully he can keep something. And is his high contract really worse than Derrick Rose's high contract?
Yeah.
Wow, you went through a lot of emotion.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I was saying yeah, but I didn't mean yeah like for that answer. I was thinking about it. I was like, wait a minute. That's actually not the easiest answer, you know?
So there you go. So you replace one high number with another high number, and this guy, you know, Rose had fallen out of favor. Now, you know, everyone's going to go buy Dwayne Wade jerseys, so.
Okay, and let's talk about Wade's old team, the Miami Heat. A little bit interesting. They re-signed Hassan Whiteside, which to me was the right move. Signing him first was the right decision. Okay. Then you bring in Derek Williams after the Wade exit. You sign Rodney Magruder, who impressed in summer league. Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson looked very good in summer league. I don't think that surprises people, but remember too, they lost Luol Deng, they lost Tyler Johnson to the Brooklyn Nets, they lost Joe Johnson to the Utah Jazz. So they have very, very little depth. I mean, is this almost, I hate to say it, is this almost a rebuild for Miami?
Well, the thing with the summer league, there's no reason any second-year player shouldn't be destroying every rookie/free agent
that's
on there.
True.
Because
look at Trey Lyles in Utah.
You have a year in the city. You know, when you come in, you have no clue what's going on. But now you know. You know what the team expects of you. You know how to do things. You know how to pace yourself. Your body is now NBA as opposed to, well, I was on a million interviews and I've just been sort of running around the gym doing jump shots. But now, you know, there's no reason you shouldn't be just on a next level. But this is sort of the, you know, the mafia. Well, this is your comeuppance. You traded for all these guys. You became, you know, that evil empire.
You traded away all those draft picks. Like, Justice was actually very rare occasion where they actually had a draft pick.
You know, you're Pat Riley. You can make any deal you want, and then all of a sudden, you know, you didn't appreciate Wade, so he, you know, he felt sad and left. So you got nobody to replace him. You know, you lose players to some poison pill deals, and you have no picks to come in. So you got Goron, and we all hope Bosch plays.
I'm starting to lean more to the medical retirement in February, because you can apply for medical retirement a year for the team a year after his last game, and that was in February.
Well, it's all those we don't want.
Or it might be a Brandon Roy situation where Portland's not confident in wasn't confident in his knees anymore.
Well, that's the difference.
So they stretched him or cut him, or I don't know how they made it work, but they
or Darius Miles, where we said you're done.
Yeah,
you can't play. You're too injured.
But then
it was
a big FU. So Darius Miles tried to find any team he could so that he could get the minimum out of games played, so that he can force the team to pay it off.
Yeah, but with, like, you know, with heart issues and blood clots, it's like, I hope he plays because he's a good player and he's an overall good guy.
Yeah, but I can see a standoff coming where the specialist is sitting with him with his wife in the stands saying that he should be cleared. And it's getting a little contentious between Bosch and Pat Riley. And you're kind of in a position now with Bosch where, okay, you either have to rely on this guy because he's your only star left along with Whiteside, or you just got to cut bait and go. You know,
well, that's the thing, is I think we sort of all have to wait till what the special, if the doctors say he's clear and Riley's like, no, he's done. Then it's like, all right. But if it's like, no, he really sort of should retire. We're all not confident. You know, Bosch wants to play, but it's like it's not worth, you know, cutting off possibly your entire life just to get one more year out of it. But it's just like I said, let's just they're an incomplete, because with Bosch, definitely a top four team. Without Bosch, lottery team. So
I think with Bosch, they're still barely in the Eastern Conference. I think Boston got better. New York and Chicago got better. Obviously, Chicago by trading the trade-off between.
Yeah, but Dragic, Bosch, and Whiteside are still.
No Wade. I mean, that's what I keep thinking of with Miami. You know, you got to make it work without him, you know. And he was so healthy the last 2 years. He almost did it in spite of LeBron, because that was the criticism when he left. Well, Wade can't keep going.
Well, that's the thing, is, you know, with Wade, well, eventually he's going to slow down. And we said that with Joe Johnson, then he fell off like immediately.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Paul Pierce, oh, he'll fell off immediately.
In terms of teams that are kind of in the running as playoff teams, Toronto, there's really not much to talk about. They lost Bismack Biyombo to Orlando, and they re-signed DeMar DeRozan to the five-year, $132 million contract, which is not $30 million, but right hovering around, what, $26, $27
million? They had to re-sign him because he was the franchise, and as much as limitations he has, if you lose him, your team really has no identity. They're just a sad tale because... They tried to get Gasol and struck out, and it's just like, well, they're not really, there was nothing they can really do, you know, so you draft two power forward / centers.
Yeah.
You have Caboclo, who we might find out in the Olympics if he could do anything. We don't know how he is.
Yeah.
You know, he was 2 years from being 2 years away. Now he's just 2 years away, so we need to see what he can do. And... they're just one of those, like, oh man, wouldn't it be awesome if they had like sort of another piece they could add? But they really, you know, you lose Biyombo and just you couldn't replace him with anybody.
Detroit, I just found this interesting. Re-signing Andre Drummond, 5 years, $130 million. Yes. Daniel Bryan levels, yes. Ish Smith, 3 for $18 million, 3 years, $18 million, fine. John Luehr, 4 years, $42 million. Ooh, I don't know. And then Boban Marjanovic, 3 years, $21 million. It's kind of odd fits, but what do you think of those? You know, a small, really quick point guard, basically a glorified journeyman in John Luehr, and then the biggest of the bigs you could find in Boban.
Well, that's the question is, well, we've been saying it for, this is our third year now. Let's just not question what Stan Van does.
Mm-hmm.
Every deal he has made, every signing.
Has worked out fairly well.
Has been complete head scratchers.
Got Tobias Harris, and Orlando has nothing left from that deal, you know?
Yeah, so every signing is a head scratcher. You get, you know, Boban and John Luehr, but then you draft Henry Ellison, who is John Luehr.
Yeah, he's like a better version of John Luehr, basically.
Well, he's just a younger version. We don't know if he's better yet.
Indiana, Larry Bird, Larry Legend. Going for this, looking at the stats and looks at, okay, Thaddeus Young, he's a scorer and a rebounder. Let's get him in a trade. Jeff Teague, you know, he got some decent numbers as the lead point guard in Atlanta. Let's get him in a trade. Al Jefferson, past prime, but he can still rebound for me. Let's give him 3 years, $30 million. What do you think of this?
I think that's just the most boring team ever because in the end, okay, you have Thaddeus Young, so what does that mean with George as the four? That doesn't fit. And then, okay, Jeff Teague, he's definitely an upgrade over Hill, but
I don't
know
exciting. About that. I'm not absolutely sure. You know, I think Teague as a shooter, his numbers last year were sort of an aberration, and that Hill actually had a down year. So it's actually more even than you would think. You know,
and then it just comes down to Monta Ellis is your only shooter.
Mm-hmm. And CJ Miles and Roddy Stuckey are kind of going downhill, you know?
Yeah, so in a team that is shooting, replacing him with, you know, Thaddeus Young, they're just not exciting moves. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we want to be a sixth seed,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. Here you go.
Milwaukee. Matthew Dellavedova, Mirza Teletovic. That was really the signings, along with drafting Thon Maker and Malcolm Brogdon. They lose Jared Bayless. OJ Mayo got banned for life, maybe. It's 2 years, and then he can reapply due to a drug suspension. What it had to be? It had to be amphetamines, cocaine?
It had to be something. It had to be either meth or coke, or it had to be something hard.
I mean, that's a major, major drug ban. But anyways, Dellavedova, defensively a good fit. But he's such like a shorty compared to all the long arm guys.
Super smart moves.
Mm-hmm.
The loss of Ilyasova really hurt them, and they weren't, you know, Teletovic is going to replace him as that stretch four. And you could say what you want about Dellavedova, but who's their point guard?
For the
Bucks.
For the Bucks, well. I don't know if right Antetokounmpo is the point guard of the future. That's the problem.
If he's the point guard of the future, you have a 6'11 point guard. Okay, so here's a tiny off guard. Mm-hmm. They can now switch on defense, and you have a backup ball handler.
You can play a more traditional lineup. if you have.
Yes, yeah. you're not sort of having that. Well, you have Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton, and then whoever, you know, you get another big lanky three, and then it's just some weird long arm team.
The only problem with Dellavedova is that you can't like play horns with him, where you know you got the guy at the top of the key, and then the wings, and then the corners. Like, you can't do that. You can't, like, running ball screens for Dellavedova. I don't know how effective he is. You know,
I'll put it this way: you have your head coach is Jason Kidd. If he says I want this point guard, I'm going to trust him because he said, oh, yeah, Carter Williams, you suck.
Well, not only that, he redeveloped Sean Livingston in Brooklyn, and then Sean Livingston went to Golden State and was a revelation. So,
you know, so I'm going to trust him on the small, you know, the smaller guys. The big guys, well, you know, you got Greg Monroe. Well, we wish we didn't have him anymore.
They tried desperately to trade him. Nobody wanted him. He's almost an outdated type of a player, to be honest.
It's not that he's outdated. It's just, well, you saw the bad fit, and it would take the right team with the right fit, and nobody wants
That's the problem, Adam. I don't know if he's a good fit anywhere. You know,
he will be. They'll come back.
And then Cleveland, you can't really talk about who they gained. They signed Mike Dunleavy with a trade exception they got from Anderson Varejao. That was really the only room they had left. They re-signed Richard Jefferson, convinced him to come out of retirement, or to not retire. But it's really all you can talk about because of their cap space is who they lost. That's really all they can talk about. So you lose Timothy Mozgov and Matthew Dellavedova. So
that's fine. And then the reports are their Birdman is looking to go to
Chris
Cleveland.
Chris Anderson? Okay.
Yeah.
Because of Memphis, I don't even know if they're going to match the contract for him.
So. No, it's just going to be a veteran minimum and probably, and it's just, you know, he plays with his friends. And
now this team is not going to be legitimate, but the Brooklyn Nets made some really. Like, they made some really nice small moves, and then they made some real head-scratchers. Like,
they didn't make head-scratchers.
I thought
this
Alan
is...
Crabb, 4-year, $75 million, was a head-scratcher.
They are going, we're going to go home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Every pick we're going to make, you know, we saw Portland. Well, let's just hit a single. Let's just hit a single. Let's just, you know, the Knicks last year, Portland this year with Evan Turner, forget that. But Knicks, let's just hit a single. Let's just keep, you know, Pelicans, let's each one more. Well, let's get on base.
Okay.
You know, this was like, all right, this guy, we don't have any draft picks. We don't have, let's sign somebody to a, you know, an up-and-coming deal and hope we can develop him.
And the,
let's
and
get
the
players.
Truth is, now that they shed all those big contracts from, you know, the from the Joe Johnson, Darren Williams, Paul Pierce era, is that now you actually have a floor to reach. So now you actually have to sign people.
So instead of getting veterans and sort of stopgapping, let's overpay for people we hope we can develop. And just, you know, they're slow developers. You know, they were buried in other, you know, buried in the depth charts. Let's go out and let's try to hit some home runs because we have money to spend. Let's not spend on somebody who's 30. Let's spend on somebody who's 24.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yeah, Tyler Johnson's,
you know,
fairly young. I'll give him that. I remember when he played for the Pelicans, he had a very nice showing as a backup point guard for the Miami Heat. 4 years, $50 million. We already talked about how he's got like an arenas provision contract where it's really where he gets a lot of money on the back end on those last 2 years. Basically guaranteed. So, you know, good for Tyler Johnson. You worked for it and you got a decent deal. Trevor Booker, 2 years, $18 million. Justin Hamilton, who had played in the NBA with the Heat, went to Europe and he was one of the better players in Europe, even though he's an American player. And now he's back at 2 years, $6 million. And then Jeremy Lin, 3 years, $36 million, along with Crabb. The Crabb one, it was kind of weird. I'm not sure about Tyler Johnson, but you needed something. You needed to find a way to get these guys to come here.
Oh, Alan Crabb, 24 years old. So would you rather pay Evan Turner $70
million? Well, he can play small forward. That's the one.
Or Alan Crabb $70
million. I would have given Alan Crabb the $70
million. That's one of those where we know we're not going anywhere.
Can
Let's
I do
get
neither?
People. But then who, you know, you're going to go give, you know, some veteran?
If you're Portland, you could have tried to re-sign Gerald Henderson. When it comes to Brooklyn, maybe you could have tried out Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at the three, but that probably wouldn't have worked out well.
Yeah, but he's only, you know, his first year, it came off major
surgery.
Still in
summer
so.
League as we speak, yeah. You're right.
So he, you know, he just had half a season. Same thing with, who was there? McCullough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both of those players, well, they look promising, but half-season players. So let's
or
get
just,
this young
and
core.
And you can't stink it up and hold out hope that you get the lottery pick because you don't have it.
I know you're pessimistic because this is what the Pelicans did. Let's get Drew Holiday, 20, you know, he's what, 25 at the time. Let's sign Tyreek to a market deal.
It's not that. It's that you overpaid for guys that are considered, that are viewed as low value, but the sabermetrics tell you that things might curve upwards. Whereas with Holiday and Tyreek, they were all-stars or you know, they were decorated players once they signed those deals. You know, that's definitely not the case with Crabbe and Tyler Johnson. It's almost like they're sabermetrics guys, where it's like things might work out. Almost like what the Pelicans did with Etuan Moore and Solomon Hill, where it's like we might not have seen the best of them yet, you know?
And that's what Brooklyn's hoping.
And it's a decent hope to hold out for.
You know, you had said there's not much hope for the team. Yeah, this year, no. They're going to be god-awful, but give them a couple years together, maybe they might do something.
What do you think of the new Orlando Magic Congo line of Bismack Biyombo and Serge Ibaka?
That, with Frank Vogel, that's going to be, I say it's a very dangerous team.
Defensively, so much better rebounding and in the front court than they were last. I mean, so much better. You know, now, you know, re-signing Evan Fournier, 5 years, $85 million. He's young, so maybe that makes sense. Jeff Green, 1 year, $15 million. I don't know what that was. DJ Augustin, 3 years, $29 million. I'm not as upset about that one, but DJ Augustin is, like, way, way past his, like, saturation point. So,
well, Jeff Green was, well, we need to spend money. Let's just bring him in for a year. Worst come to worst, we can trade that $15 million for a team who's looking to, you know, go all out on Westbrook plus somebody else next year.
Are the days numbered for Nikola Vucevic?
No.
You think they could try to make a rotation there where you have the defensive four and five and you could put in Vucevic there as, like, the offensive four?
Put in the offensive four, you can, you know, Gordon could be a three. Hazanja could be a two.
Mm-hmm. They got a little bit of weird stuff that they got to work out, especially with Aaron Gordon. Because Aaron Gordon to me is not a small forward. But now you're at a point where you might have to put him at small forward.
That is, you might have to put him at small forward. You might have to move Hazanja. That's, you know, basically putting a lot of on him because, you know, he was buried last year. And then now you have no shooter, so.
The Charlotte Hornets, re-signing Nick Batum. I'm not a big fan of him getting 5 years, $125 million. But if he's that valuable to you in your playoff run, and you feel like he can maintain that because, you know, he's still got an age on his side, then that's fine. Marvin Williams, 4 years, $53 million. Actually, you didn't like it. I actually think it was almost a bargain because I think he would have been overpaid elsewhere.
Yeah, but he's already been to so many places, and he's already peaked and now on the decline. And, you know, the Fournier deal, or no, Batum deal, he got overpaid, yeah, but I just don't like it because how are him and Kid Gilchrist going to do anything? That's going to be the least scoring.
Well, that's the funny thing. Gilchrist barely played, so now you have to implement him back in.
Well, he was injured, so.
But now, you know, a lot of people like his defense, but you're right. Where do you put him in? You put him at the three? You put him at the two? Like, he's not a four.
And nobody's going to be scoring on that team. It's just going to be Kemba shooting threes.
Yeah,
and
so they needed offense, so guess who they signed? They signed Roy Hibbert, you know?
That was just, well, we replaced one broken-down center with another one, and, you know, let's hope Frank Kaminsky does something and shows a sign of life.
Atlanta, we knew change was in, you know, there were winds of change coming, but it came a little faster than we thought. If you trade Al Horford for Dwight Howard, is that an upgrade?
No.
Okay. If you trade Jeff Teague away for Dennis Schroeder, is that an upgrade as a starter?
Well, who do they trade Teague for? Was it just straight up for Torian Prince?
The draft pick that turned into Torian Prince, yes. And I thought Torian Prince and DeAndre Bembry made sense because I think they were expecting to lose Kent.
You like Torian Prince.
He's a really good intangibles guy at the small forward position, but he's not a great scorer yet.
And the thing I don't get is Torian Prince and Dwight Howard do not fit that Mike Budenholzer team at all.
Well, definitely not Dwight, but they needed rebounding so badly. We talk about it every year.
But you have changed, you know, the core of your team right now. That is no longer just a three-point shooting team anymore.
Yeah, the chemistry of that team has been totally broken up now that Teague and Horford are gone.
you know, you're saying, you know, we kept saying the end is near, the end is near. Well, they could sign Hortford and Dwight, and we'll get rid of Millsap, who's not happy now.
Yeah, now they the cat's out of the bag that they tried to deal him, so that in a desperate attempt to keep Horford. The key with Horford was that fifth year, because that fifth year in, I think, 2021, that's going to be a bad contract. You know, but the truth is, like, did you – if you really need him, I mean, you got to give him that fifth year, because Al Horford was going to get it from somebody else. And I don't know if the Thunder offered it, but that's a whole nother complication where people were saying, well, if Kevin Durant already knows he's going back to Oklahoma City and Al Horford's already in on it and he's going to sign there, but it turned out not to be the case. But he got 4 years from Boston, but I would bet five was on the like – I would bet that Atlanta at the very last second tried to give him that fifth year, and Al just said, nah, I'll just
take it. He's like, no, now you just don't appreciate me. Yeah. I went to Boston. They love me. I see a team that, you know, I saw you guys last year tried to shop everybody. Mm-hmm.
Well, he tried to trade Al Horford, you know, in the trade deadline.
Yeah, so you lose him for Howard. Howard, you know, people forget how good he is because of his personality problems. It's just another team now. Well, they have a new team, and that team does not play the way the coach usually plays.
We've obviously got a bunch of free agents still out there. J.R. Smith, a lot of restricted free agents from the 2012 draft, like Myers Leonard, Deion Waiters, Mo Harkless, Miles Plumlee. You know, the point guard class is really super duper bare with guys like Ty Lawson, who I don't even know if he knows where he is right now. Jared Jack, Grievous Vasquez, Tim Frazier. Like, I mean, it is like crumbs off of the cookie. And then for a small forward, very, very bare. You've got like Gerald Green, Alonzo G, you know, and then a couple of bigs like Josh Smith and Brandon Bass, David Lee, Terrence Jones, Jason Thompson. I mean, it's a little bare after you get to a certain point. But I mean, I think we're at a point where we can kind of make our best, like our best and our worst. Like, what was your kind of like for the team that you think fared the best out of the free agency?
Washington Wizards, who you haven't mentioned for some reason.
Well, they re-signed Bradley Beal. I just told
you. That was a horrible deal, but every other signing was completely smart. And then, you know, they had these, you know, you have all these people to fill. You have no bench. And then every, you know, Ian Mahimi, 4 for $64. Nicholson from Orlando.
That is nothing. I mean, 4 years, $26 million is like nothing, you know.
You know, Trey Burke, you get Tomas Satoransky from Czech Republic for super cheap. They got some nice depth on that team.
Mm-hmm. And Jason Smith, that they just plucked out. Yeah.
You know, so they got, you know, well, we're going to lose out on Hortford. We lost out on Durant. But they picked up nice backup talent and smart decisions.
Yeah, Mahimi was like the backup to when they couldn't get Horford. Like, I heard Horford...
Which they signed, like, literally 10 minutes later.
Well, Horford seriously considered the Wizards. Maybe they offered the fifth year. But he decided to just go to Boston. And so the moment after that, they signed Mahimi to that contract. 4 years, $64 million. So you like them. For me, the overall... Like, in terms of the overall, I'm looking at all the teams here. You know, I really like what Utah did.
And Utah as well, because
I just like the fact that they did not commit long term and they got players that can actually help them, you know.
Boris Diaw, high character guy, will definitely help, you know, the Stifle Tower, and then just smart veteran upgrades.
And I know that people are still super skeptical, but I do like what Chicago did. I think it can work. Because I think a guy like Dwayne Wade is a leader, and he can rally that team around him. Like, this stuff about Rajon Rondo saying Jimmy Butler is the leader, I don't think so. I think Dwayne Wade's an alpha male everywhere.
Yeah, but that's what you have to sort of, you know, Rondo came in saying, look, this is his team. We're joining him. He should be the leader. He's the young guy.
Everyone said, I remember when LeBron got to Miami. Oh, no, it's Wade's team. Well, if you want to take the next step, it's got to be your team, LeBron. And once he realized that, then they took the next step.
But Butler, you know, we had seen last year, he sort of had maturity problems and, mm-hmm. you know, wanted to be the leader but wasn't, so.
And they're both from Marquette, so maybe they can just kind of find a bond, you know, and then Rondo is always off in the corner. You know, he's just, that's just how he is. He's a very, very individual person.
Just be off the corner. I'll pass to, you know, let's play. I'll pass to you, but.
And you liked Orlando getting that front line.
Orlando only because of Vogel. I don't know how it's going to fit, but I have faith that the coach will put things together.
Worst ones.
Obviously, we need to start with Philly, who only got Jared Bayless and...
Gerald Henderson, huh?
Oh, well, he moves the needle.
And they got Sergio Rodriguez on an $8 million contract, who... Spanish chocolate. I think they used to call him Spanish chocolate, right?
Allegedly, I've heard conflicting reports that he didn't sign.
Oh, okay, that it might not be confirmed. Okay.
Yeah, that was not confirmed.
They're going to bring in Dario Saric, who, you know, we're going to talk about in a second.
They're bringing another big man, and they're bringing another big man. And the only thing, you know, that gives hope is it looked like, you know, Simmons was spectacular in the summer league.
His points are not there yet, like just like in LSU, but the passing, my God. Like,
that's why, are they going to do some sort of Giannis point forward type thing? If so, okay, that makes sense for not signing any point guards, but it's just... You know, you need to start doing something and trust the process, trust the process. All right, next year you need to pay Nerlens.
I get the same sense watching Simmons that I got watching Damian Lillard in summer league in Portland. Like, I just watch him and I'm like, oh, that's a star. You know?
Like, all right, I get it. He doesn't need to play there. He can move
it's like
on
Justice
to day
Winslow.
One.
It's like Justice Winslow last year, you know, when I saw him one game in Orlando summer league. And for some reason he came back for Orlando summer league, but whatever. But one game I saw Orlando, I'm like, okay, that's it. Justice Winslow's a star, you know? And now it might actually be his team down the road. We'll see. For me...
Portland with Evan Turner, because this is what the summer has been sort of... You know, do you hear Evan Turner got $75 million?
I mean,
$70 million?
Oklahoma City is so easy just because they lost Kevin Durant and Serge Ibaka and didn't really replace it with much because they didn't sign anybody and it's not a destination team anymore. But, man, the Houston Rockets are just – I mean, I don't understand signing Ryan Anderson to that money. I'm glad – as a Pelicans fan, thank you. But I just don't understand 4 years, $80 million for Ryan Anderson. That just blows my mind that he's making –
You put a lot of money into that, and then it also kills your flexibility, and you still have point guard issues.
And, you know, I don't think the Spurs are the dumbest – or suddenly a dumb team, but I just think Pau Gasol's a really bad fit. You know, I just do. Maybe I'm just going out on a limb.
I don't think he is a terrible fit. You could have said he was a terrible fit in Chicago with Noah there.
And we can all agree about the Lakers. I mean, that just goes without saying.
Yeah, it's just the same thing last year. Well, you draft these two young guys. Well, I need to play Meta World Peace because they need to earn respect. And then, no, you need to play your young guys. Go look at, you know, Orlando and Utah. Play your young guys. Be terrible. Go through the bumps. Don't sign Luol Deng for, you know, bad contract, and then.
And before we wrap up, let's talk a little bit about the fine. They had three. Take place over this past week. It's finishing today as we're recording. They have a fine on the Philippines between France and Canada. And a lot of people are curious, okay, who's playing for Canada? Because I know that they have an influx of talent in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. No Wiggins, am I right, for Canada? But they do have Tristan Thompson, who just won the NBA championship.
Yep, they have Tristan Thompson and Enes. Corey Joseph.
Corey Joseph, Tyler Ennis. I'm trying to think of some of the other guys that they had on the team. Let me see. Anthony Bennett, is he still there?
Anthony Bennett's there. Brady Heslip is there.
Melvin Edgem. Now, they're playing against, I would have to assume, a very loaded France team.
Yeah, France team has Parker. And
Nando DiColo, Nick Batum. Is Boris Diaw playing? So he found that he was traded while he was playing in this tournament?
I think he's playing, but I'm not.
Is Gobert playing?
No.
Okay, but Tony Parker is.
Tony Parker is. A lot of the, you know, there's a lot of talent. A lot of talent sort of skipped out on these qualifying tournaments. Next month, if they make the big show, because Croatia and Serbia made it, okay, we're going to probably see more NBA guys there.
Yeah, and we have to say goodbye to New Zealand, which had, like, the Webster brothers, Corey and Ty. The Philippines, who had Andre Blotch, goodbye to them. Senegal with Gorgui Jang. Is Turkey already in?
No, Turkey's out. And
Turkey is officially
out. The two teams that are in are Serbia and Croatia.
Okay, and then so let's go on that other side of it, which had Serbia. And they were in Belgrade, actually, to play that tournament, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and so they beat Puerto Rico in the finals with Carlos Arroyo and JJ Barea. Pretty much a blowout for Serbia in group play and into the elimination round. Nikola Jokic was the tournament MVP of that qualifier. They also have Bogdan Bogdanovic, one of their best players. He was traded to the Kings, but he's not going to be coming over.
Yep, and that's why the Phoenix traded him away. The day after he said, I'm not coming over, up, your rights are now shit.
Yeah, and Nemanja Nedovic, who was a 2013 draft pick. So Serbia was a team that finished with the silver medal in the FIBA World Cup of 2014, lost to the U.S. after beating, I believe, France in the semis. So what kind of a threat could they be in the Olympics?
It depends who's joining that team, but they have... they have Serbia and Croatia. They're getting all the big men are coming from
now,
there.
Now Croatia had a tough draw because they had to go to Turin, Italy, and they had to beat Italy. And Italy had Marco Bellinelli and Danilo Gallinari. I mean, that's hard. That's not easy.
And Bargnani, and then
They had to beat Greece, or did Italy have to beat Greece?
Greece sort of crapped out at the end, and Croatia had to take out Italy in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Which was just a heartbreaker for Italy.
Mm-hmm. On Italy's home court, which had to be tough for them.
Yeah, so, Saric was impressive.
Yeah, he was the tournament MVP on that end. So if you're a Sixers fan, go and find the tape for the Italy FIBA qualifier, because you're going to see a whole lot of good Dario Saric stuff. They have Bojan Bogdanovic. We talked about Mario Hezonja with the Magic. He played on that team this year, correct?
Yep.
Okay, and so is this goodbye for Italy, coached by Ettore Messina, who's one of our EuroLeague coaching favorites?
No, Italy doesn't have many up-and-coming
prospects.
Well,
I mean, for the Olympics, that means that they're
done. Oh, yeah, it was Croatia, winner takes all.
That's why these FIBA qualifiers kind of interested you, because this is it. Like, it's almost, it's
yep,
like
they changed it up from three, the top three go to we're having just pools of six, whoever wins everything.
At satellite locations. Yeah.
Yep. So, France and Canada, France, has the history and should win. But winner goes, Canada goes home. Italy could sit at home. Turkey sits at home. Everybody, because it was just, if you didn't win the tournament, you're screwed.
This one might be marked, a little bit old because of when we're recording it. But if France actually loses to Canada, how big of an upset would that be in that qualifier in the Philippines?
Oh, that'd be a huge upset because France is, I think sixth or
even though
seventh
Canada,
in the world.
Coached by Jay Triano, is on the up and up.
For 2020, Canada should be top 10 team with cousin Jamal, and even Thon Maker develops in 4 years and. Mm-hmm. If they get the NBA guys in there.
And they got some younger guys coming out. I think they have one named Justin Jackson who's in high school. He's going to play at Maryland. They always get good young guys out of high school in Canada.
Now they have great young guys out of high school as opposed to, they had good players.
Edgem was a great example where he was a good Canadian player that went to college, played 4 years at Iowa State, and was really turned into a really good player.
Yeah, but now we're getting, all-stars. Like, Tristan Thompson was, the first one to be like, okay, he's a big guy, mm-hmm. big-name guy who's staying there. And, they'll be there. They're looking for 2020 in Japan.
So what was your big takeaways from the FIBA qualifiers? That Dario Saric is for real, or?
Yeah, Croatia, I thought, would be too young, and Italy would, have the experience of those NBA guys to sort of take over. But Croatia was very surprising. Serbia, as we expected.
Dominated.
Had won. Yeah. And then France always has the, they have the lineage.
Percent chance that, France, Serbia, depending if France wins in this qualifier, France, Serbia, and Croatia wins, actually, at least gets to the semis or the finals of the Olympics.
Oh, very slim.
Okay. Even France. Because France is in the same pool as the U.S. The best they could do would be the semifinals if they lose to the U.S.
It's, the U.S. and Spain's game. Brazil, they're not an X factor, but they might be that wily, home, tough hometown team to be scrappy, but it should, you know, I expect the usual Spain, Lithuania, and the U.S. to be the top three.
Yeah, and it may be Brazil, but Brazil is looking a little slower than they normally do.
Well, we don't know who's on that team. It's
the host nation, so they haven't had to really dole out anything in the last.
They don't put out any, you know, the FIBA Americas. They just put out all like D League players.
I have to imagine Nene, Varejao, Huertas, and Barbosa. You'll have to see them. That's not the
Argentina.
It's not the golden generation like Argentina because they didn't win the gold medal. But it's like that's like their top dogs. Like that, those are the four that sort of carried them into relevancy. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So you know those will be the feisty team. You know, like yeah, even Argentina as well, but. I don't, you know, these are just young developing programs, and then we'll see. It'll be, you know, we will have an Olympic preview in August, so.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be doing that along with Summer League. Well, I don't think we're going to be going away, unfortunately, for some of the listeners. Are you looking forward to coming back? You want to do this some more for the summer?
Why not? We've been having fun thus far.
So says you.
I'm sorry to drag you through this then.
But, a little bit of an extra long episode. Felt like we had to kind of cover a lot of ground with the free agency. So hopefully everybody feels a little informed. Got some decent opinions. But on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. We'll see y'all again.